Okay, so again, we're continuing in the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos. We're on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph at the bottom of the Sudat. And today's Amud is Lamed Hey Amud Beis. So what we had accomplished yesterday was a source, to identify the source for why we make a Bracha Rishon. And we ultimately had tried to, we started out by trying to see if we could learn from a pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem, that we praise Hashem with holy praises, Hilulim. But we ultimately were not able to prove from that the definitive source, and instead, the Gemara had concluded and said, El Svaruhu, it's a logical conclusion that Asr Lo La'adam, Shiyahana Min Ha'olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha, person, if he's going to have any benefit in this world, he's going to have to make a Bracha. So this is where we're picking up from this week, the two dots. Tanur Rabbanim. So we teach in the following, the Braisa, Asr Lo La'adam, Shiyahana Min Ha'olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha, a person is not allowed to have benefit from this world without a Bracha. And the converse, the Chohanen, I mean, Olam Hazeh below Bracha Ma'al. If a person goes ahead and has enough in this world without making a Bracha, it's like he is Ma'al. What's Mi'ila? So Mi'ila is misappropriating, it's misusing that which is Kodesh, that which is owned by Hekdesh, and also the Hashem. So similarly, if a person makes a Bracha in this world, eats in this world without making a Bracha, he is doing the same thing, he is stealing, misappropriating that which is in this world given to him. So the Gemara says, "My tekante." So, what should such a person do, right? What should he do to fix the situation, remedy the situation? The Gemara says, "Yelech etzel chacham." He should go to a chacham. Go to a chacham. Yelech etzel chacham. My avidlei. What is a chacham going to do for him? This is, we don't have a religion where you go to the priest, you confess. What's a chacham going to do if you did something wrong? You made a bracha. You ate something in this world without a bracha. What's going to a chacham going to help you? So rather, the Gemara explains, Ella Amarava, Yelech Etzel Chacham Me'ikara. What you should really do is you should have gone to the Talmud Chacham first, the Yomdena Brachos, in order so that he would teach you Hilchos Brachos, so that you don't come to transgress and by accident eat something without making the proper bracha. In other words, you got to come to Amud Shvui to learn the Ketzel Mevarchim in advance, so that when it comes time to making complicated bracha situations, you know just what to do. That's the proper approach. The Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Kohanan Milo Mazeh Belo Bracha Ki Ilu Nehane Mikashe Shemayim. Anyone who has benefited from this world without making a bracha, it's like he's benefiting from that which is Kodesh to Shemayim, meaning that which is owned by Hashem. Shenan Mark, as it says in the pasuk, La Hashem Aretz Imloah. Hashem owns the Aretz and everything in it. So Hashem is the owner, the Bailam on the whole world. Rabbi Levi Rami Ksiv, Rabbi Levi contrasts two different sukkim. On one hand, it says, La Hashem Ha'aretz Imlo'ah. We see that Hashem's world in its entirety. The Ksiv, another pasuk says, Hashemayim, Shemayim La Hashem. Another pasuk says that the Shemayim, the heavens, that's for Hashem. Ba'aretz, nothing of Ne'adam, but the land, that's given to us. So it's a contradiction. Sukkim, the Aretz is for Hashem, or is the Aretz for us? The Gemara answers, Lo Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan Kodim Bracha, when is the world Hashem? That's before we make a Bracha. But Kan La'acha Bracha, and after Bracha, it is now at that point, ours. Amr B'chanina Bar Papa. B'chanina Bar Papa says, Kol Hanena, we're now at the top of Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Amr B'chanina Bar Papa, Kol Hanena Min Olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha. Anyone who has benefit from this world without a Bracha, Ki'ilu Gozel La'hakash Baruch Hu, it's as if he is stealing from Hashem the Knesset Yisrael and Kla Yisrael. Shenamar, based on the following pasuk, goes to Av V'Imo, a person, the pasuk goes this, goes to Av V'Imo, a person steals from his mother and his father. V'Omer, and he says, Ein Pesha. Nothing wrong. No, nothing bad with that. Chaver hu li'ish mashtas. The pasuk ends by saying that person is a companion, he's like a friend to a person who is destructive. We'll explain this pasuk as follows. Ein Aviv, it says a person steals his father and his mother. So Aviv refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenamar, Halohu Avicha Konecha. Hashem is described as our father, who fashioned us, who owns us. The Ein Imo El Knesset Yisrael. And one's mother, who is that referred to? That's Kla Yisrael. Shenamar, Shema Bini Musar Avicha. Ve'al Titosh Torah Simecha. You gotta listen to the Musar of your father and the Torah of your mother. And so that's the stealing from Hashem and from Kla Yisrael. Now, pause here for a second. So let's just finish the pasuk again, and then we'll glance for a second. My chaver hu li'ish mashtas. What does it mean that he is a companion to someone who is destructive? Amr Chanina bar Papa chaver hu li Yeravam ben Levat. He was like similar. He's similar to Yeravam. Yeravam is the wicked king. Shehishchis es Yisrael lahavim shemir shemayim. Yeravam worshipped the Vozara, and he caused Bnei Yisrael to worship the Vozara. So similarly, this person who eats without bracha, he is going to cause other people either to sin by not making a bracha, or by saying a bad example, or Rashi explains, you know what's going to happen? Hashem says, if you don't make a bracha, whose land is it? Whose stuff is it? It's mine. I'm not going to give it to you. And therefore, he's going to cause the crops not to grow. He's going to cause Hashem not to give us the produce. So all of Klal Yisrael is going to suffer. If you don't make a bracha, Hashem's not going to provide the proper sustenance to everyone. So we all suffer for that. Now, let's go to the first part. Let's stop here for a second. It's an interesting Gemara that we just did. Let me ask you a question. The Gemara said that Asr Lahanos Me'olam Hazeh below bracha. And anyone who does so is ki'ubu ma'al. It's as if he did me'ila, right? Stealing, misappropriating from that which is hektish, that which is owned by the Beis Mikdash. Now, I ask you a question. The Gemara here said that if you do so, you're gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did you steal from Hashem? Don't look at Rashi. Don't look at the Gemara. What did you steal from Hashem? What would you say, Pashtus? What is it that you stole? I would assume stole the food. Meaning, any kol goes nanimel has low bracha kilo mal, because when it comes to meila, what did you steal? What did you misappropriate? The item, the physical item. So I would assume that the parallel is that if you go ahead and you use something in this world, you consume something in this world that you, without making a bracha. I would assume, not like Yoashi, but you're thinking in a different track. We'll get to you in a second. I would assume that you're stealing the food, and that's what the Maharsha says. The Maharsha says, Gozel mamish l'kosh baruch hu oso dover she'ochel. He actually stole that which he ate. V'nanim menu, kozim bracha, shalohu, and who is it? It's Hashem still. It's not yours until you make the bracha. That's what he said. Tan kozim bracha, that's Hashem ha'artim lo'a. And only after the bracha is yours. That's referring to the food, that you're stealing the food from Hashem. So, Ashi Shri Rashi, what does Rashi say? It's brichato, so you stole the bracha from Hashem. What is it that you stole? You didn't give Hashem his bracha. Okay, so let's understand for a second. So let's step back for just 1 second and get a little. I saw Rabbi Shugan was talking about something else later. So we'll stop back. We'll ask a little bit of Lumdus. I know you like Lumdus here for a second. What is the purpose of the bracha rishona? Okay, in other words, in general we say there may be two possibilities. We have two theoretical sources. One was the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulin LaHashem, give holy praises to Hashem. That was a source we tried, didn't really work out. We're saying maybe it's a smachta, and ultimately say it's a svara. And what's that svara? Look, if you're visiting a friend's house and you see some nice stuff at the table, before you grab it, say, do you mind if I grab a little scotch? Do you mind if I have a little bit of the cake over there? Before you take, just ask. So it's just a svara. You should do the same thing to Hashem. Meaning, according to that, I would say that the bracha rishona, the idea behind the bracha rishona is what we say is a matir. It is to allow you to have what you want. Otherwise, it's not yours yet. It's not appropriate to take it. It's a matir. The other approach would be based on that pasuk, and maybe based on this rational thing in a second, is that maybe the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to praise Hashem. Who says that? Rashi in last week. I don't know if we read it last week. It was like the end of the last Rashi in the previous week's Amud. Rashi, on Lamed Hamad Aleph, if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of Rashi, okay, the bottom of the page, the 5 lines up in Rashi, Rashi says, Ela svarahu, dekevon dinehene, since you have hana'a from this thing, sarach lahodos l'mishabaram, you have to give praise to the person who created the food that you're eating. That's not a matir, that's a bracha shevach v'hodah. So according to Rashi, Rashi understands that the whole purpose of the bracha rishona is a bracha shevach. It's a bracha of hodah to Hashem. And therefore, it's not a please. The purpose of bracha is not a please, it's a hodah. It's a praise of Hashem. So if when I eat something and I didn't make the bracha, what did I not do? It's not that I didn't say please, and if I took something that wasn't mine. According to Rashi, I took the opportunity to praise Hashem. The bracha is what was missing. That's, I think, Rashi's shitaso. He understands the idea of the bracha rishona. One second, the idea of bracha rishona primarily being a birchat hashevach, a birchat ha'odah. The other approach would be that this is a matir. And there's many other, we're not going through the whole sugya, but there are other indications both ways whether the bracha rishon is in fact a matir. It is something that just simply enables you like a please to get what you need, versus being a brachas shevach, not directly connected to what you're eating, but instead simply the appropriate thing to say to Hashem, what he deserves, beforehand. The Maharsha explains the reason why that's done before is because Hashem says, Ki Hakol Bara L'Chvodo. You say, right? Hashem created the world to honor in this world of Him. Litein kavod me'im brichoso. So therefore, you can't get hana in this world before you've properly shown honor and respect to the person who created it. Yes.
When you don't make a bracha, wouldn't that be like you're used to winning the war to tell you not to make the bracha?
Yeah, if you did on purpose, yeah. Sometimes you do it by accident, right? You're still like used to just throwing the stuff in, so you have to remind yourself. But I guess, yeah, if you had a desire just to throw it in your mouth, and really what you're forgetting is Hashem. You have to trust to God to forget Hashem. Very good. Okay, So let's continue. So again, we had this, you're stealing from Hashem. It's either because it's a matir or it's because it is a birchas hashach v'odah, and that nafkamina is what exactly you're stealing. Okay.
You say you first threw it open, it belongs to Him, and you're taking something that belongs to God.
That's more of a matir. That would be more of the approach of... Oh, meaning the bracha belongs to Him. The bracha belongs to Him. Yeah. Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi understands that's the bracha that you took from him, and according to the Maharsha, that pashtus is that you stole the actual food itself. That's, I think, the simple understanding for sure. Okay. Okay. Let's continue in the Gemara. So we're up to two dots in the Gemara, in the middle of the narrow line. Okay. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Rami Ksiv. So there's another set of sukkim that he contrasts. It says on one hand, Lakasi degani biito. I'm going to take my Hashem says, my grain in its time. Another pasuk says, "Va'asata diganecha." You're going to take your grain. So, which is it? Our grain or Hashem's grain? So, lokasha kam bizman shi'ishra otsu matzon shamakam. When we're doing the right thing, what does it mean when we're doing the right thing? We're making bracha. We're listening to Hashem's will. Then it's our grain. Kam bizman she'ein yisra otsu matzon shamakam. But when we're not doing the right thing, when we're not following Hashem's will, then it's His grain. It's His. He's not going to give it to us. Okay. Furthermore, Bryce says, "Tanu rabban." The asafta diganecha, you're going to gather your grain. So ma tamadomar, what does that come to teach us? Lepisha namar, because there's another pasuk which says lo yomer sefer Torah zamipicha. You can the words of Torah should never leave your lips. Yalin Torah all the time. The yachol dvarim kiksavan. You might have thought that literally you can never stop learning. All you can do is learn all day long. So therefore, the pasuk, meaning you might have thought that was a havamina. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, therefore the pasuk comes to teach us v'asafta diganecha, anheg bahem minhag derech eretz. You have to combine with your learning derech eretz. This is like Torah derech eretz. You have to go ahead and combine. This is divrei Rabbi Yishmael. The sheet of Rabbi Yishmael is how you work out the pesukim of v'asafta diganecha and the pasuk of lo yomer sefer Torah zamipicha. So Rabbi Yishmael explains, okay, two contradictory pesukim. What you're going to do is you're going to meld them together. And by that way, you'll be able to do both. Rashi explains it in that way. He explains that minhag derech eretz means she'im tabel de torah habriyo socha livatim de torah. If you're not going to work, if you're only going to learn all day long, what are you going to do? At some point, you're going to need to get money from somewhere, and you're going to start needing to rely on other people. And what's going to happen ultimately is livatim de torah. Your Torah, you'll end up not learning. Meaning, you started out learning 100%. By the end, you end up saying it happens, and you need money, and you have nothing available, you have no means to support yourself, you'll end up learning almost nothing. Your learning will suffer because you did not also apply a parnasa, some work, to your life, to your day as well. So that's the approach of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shimba Yochai, Omer, Rabbi Shimba Yochai says differently. Since Efshar Adam, okay, so Rabbi Yishmael, what are you going to do? You're going to have us all go to work, right? So what's going to happen? Efshar Adam Chorish B'Shas Chorish. You're going to plow in the time that you're supposed to plow. You'll plant when you have to plant. The kotzi b'shas zero. What's next? You're going to have to harvest. V'dash b'shas disha, and you're going to have to thresh after that. V'zoreb b'shas haruach, you're going to have to winnow the grain after that. Next step. Okay, meanwhile, Torah matela. You didn't learn yet. We went through the whole year, the whole cycle of the harvest, the planting, the harvesting, everything. You got your food. Great. What happened to Torah? Where was the time? What happened to this matela? Ella, Rabbi Shembar Yochai explains the two psukim as follows. When you go ahead and you follow Hashem's will, you know who's going to do your work? Other people. Other people do your work. Not you. It'll be others. I don't necessarily mean other Jews. Probably other non-Jews. Or other people who are not high in learning Torah. Foreigners will come. Right? Non-Jews. Foreigners will come. And they will take care of your flock. But when we don't follow the will of Hashem, so then then you're going to have to do it yourself. And that's where the pasuk says, where you weren't doing everything exactly to Shamakam, and then you have to do it yourself. And not only that, below that, you're going to do your work, and you're going to have to do other people's work. Shenemar, v'avata Hashem alchecha, you're going to serve Hashem. You're going to serve your enemies. You have to work for them as well. Now, you know, what this classically is explained as is you have two psukim, which are contradictory. You have two psukim, which seem to contrast. One says you should work. So they conflict. And we don't have hakatzav ashlishi shiachriya beinan. We don't have a third pasuk which comes to tell us what to do between these two psukim. So we're stuck. So what do we do when we're stuck? So there's another machlokas, another situation that they say is parallel to this, in a similar, which is understood in a similar vein. It says by Yontif, it says atzeres tia lachem, right? By Sukkot and by Pesach, atzeres tia lachem. The Yontif should be for you. There's another pasuk that says atzeres Hashem alkecha. The Yontif should be for Hashem. So which is it? We have there's a machlokas there as well. Rabbi Lezer says o ku lachem, o lahashem. It's either got to be all for you. You're gonna eat, hang out, you're going to enjoy the yontif, or kul Hashem, fast, learn all day long, just focus on things or ruchnias. That's one approach. The other approach is Rabbi Yeshua, who says, chalkeidu. What you should do is meld the two together, chati Hashem to chati lachem. Same thing over here. When you have two psukim which are machishin zazah, you have no way to figure them out. So one approach is to say, you got to choose. The two psukim are unresolved, so it's one or the other. According to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it's either you're working all the time and you don't have a chance to learn, or you're only learning and other people take care of your work. That's the way he understands the Tupsukim. The other approach of Rabbi Shmuel is to meld the two together and to understand that the Tupsukim can be understood at the same time by a person who's going to be able to both work and also learn. The learner-earner. That'll be the other way, the approach of Rabbi Shmuel. The interesting thing, the question is, we had explained just now that the Asasa de Ganecha, according to Rishon Bar Yochai, means that this is Bizman She'em Rizosim Rizon Shemakom. That's when you're not listening to Hashem. So it's Asasa de Ganecha, you're going to have to work. Otherwise, the work will be done for you. A few moments ago, we had said, according to Rechanina in name Bar Papa, that how do we understand that it says Asasa de Ganecha, but it's also de Gani, that Hashem calls it migraine. So it's when Osim Rizon Shemakom, Hashem gives it to you. It's your grain. So we understood the pasuk that Asasa de Ganecha before, as when you're osim ritzon shemakom. Now we're understanding the pasuk of asaf de'necha to mean when you're not doing Hashem's will. So which is it? Which way is it? Asaf de'necha is when you're listening to Hashem, or when you're not listening to Hashem, which is the pshat in the pasuk. Hold that thought for a second. Abaye then says in the Gemara, Amar Abaye, har be'asu k'Rabbi Yishmael ve'asu bi'adam. You know, there are many people that tried to do like Rabbi Yishmael, and it worked out. They tried to work. They were working sometimes and learning sometimes, and they were able to accomplish both. But Kirishma ben Yochai, some people try to do like Rishim ben Yochai and only learn. It'll also be other. It didn't work out so well. So is the Abaye paskening? Seems like a Abaye paskening, which is the proper approach. You know, it's like they're kolam all over the place. Some yeshivas, like Yeshiva University, has many, many guys in the yeshiva. Most of them go off to Parnassa. Some of them stay in the kolam. There's only like one Y kol in New York and there's a Y kol in Chicago. I'm not sure there's other Y kolam around. Most of the guys, and in Israel, that's a strong group. But most of the guys go off to work. Other places, Elder Bachim go to continue on to learn Kolo. So different approaches. So Abaye seems to say the approach is more successful if you take the approach where you're going to work and you're going to learn. Seems to say. Well, so let's hold that thought. Is he paskening or is he saying another thing? Is he saying something else? That's my second question.
Shmuel doesn't say that you should do both. You should work.
Rishmal says you should work because
great,
yeah, I don't think he means you should work to the exclusion. All the commentaries say that he doesn't mean you should not learn, because that would be impossible to say that someone should not learn Torah. That's impossible. It means that you should work in addition to learning, which by necessity means you're going to learn less than you could have learned if you had not worked at all. Right. But no one says you don't work at all. That you don't learn at all. That would be.
Then you'd have to say the same truth for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that you could learn.
You know, he says it, but he says it very explicitly. He says you do na'achta chanasa say the acherim. He's very clear about it. I mean, that's very clear according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So the interesting thing is that there's an opposite Gemara. Okay, there's a Gemara Menachos and the Asai test. It's another widely quoted Gemara. The Gemara says also quotes the very same pasuk we're talking about. It says, "Lo yamish sefer haTorah zeh mipicha." Right? You can the Torah's got always be on your lips. Amr of Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, recording in the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. And what does he say? What is Lo Yomir Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha? Afilu Kara Adam El Kriyashma Shachris V'Arvit. If a person just said Kriyashma, morning and night, that's all he did? Kiyam. He was fulfilling Lo Yomish, as if the Torah never left his lips. All day, right? Once in the morning, once in the night, Kriyashma, that's all Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai requires. Okay? The Gemara says, and it continues, he says, V'davar ze asr la'amru b'snei amaretz. But you can't say amaretz is this because they're going to think, oh, all I got to do is say Krishna, I'm not going to bother, I'm not going to show up to shir ever, I'm not going to go learn anything, because all I got to do is that, and I'm going to kind of pasuk. So you can't tell them. Interesting thing is, the Gemara says, V'rava amar, mitzvah la'amru b'snei amaretz. You have to tell the amaretz that all he has to do is say Krishna, shach sarvet, and he's mekayim, the pasuk of l'yem eshtei pertorzen picha. Why would he a mitzvah? I think a lot of people say it's because, you know, one of the challenges to getting people to learn is that they feel like, look, I'm not a learner. I'm not a guy in Go Yeshiva, right? I'm working on time. There's other guys who learn. I'm not, like, in the learning category. There's other guys. So if you tell people, like, people like to label themselves. So Rav is trying to say, you know, one of the biggest key things is, look, just come for one share. Just come to do one Amud. Forget Daf Yomi. Okay, you're not Daf Yomi yet. You're not learning, giving shiur. Okay, just learn. That's all you need to do. We're all on the same team. We're all Mekayim. Lo Yomish Sefer Torah Zipicha. To the fullest extent, just Kriyashma Shach Tarvis, come to Minyan, and just say Kriyashma, that's it. Because at least then they feel like they're on the right team. And then, okay, once they're starting to learn, they'll continue, they'll hopefully enjoy it, and they'll continue to do more. As opposed to saying of lines and boundaries and guidelines, saying, you know, you're not on the level. You know, everyone else, we're all learners. You're in the non-learning camp. So that's one of the key things to make sure that Rav is saying, you got to tell people, you got to let them know you too are part of the same team we're on. So then Gemara continues and says, that Ben Dama Ben Achosa Shavishmal, right, so, his Ben Dama, who is the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel, asks his uncle Rabbi Shmuel, again, the same person who's in Argama, Rabbi Shmuel, who said that here you have to blend Torah and the Derech Eretz. And he says, what about me? He says, you know, his nephew said, I've learned Kol HaTorah Kula. Can I learn Chachma Yevanis? Can I learn Greek knowledge? And so Rabbi Shmuel, his uncle, says back to him famously, right? So you go ahead, he says, Lo Yomish Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha. Go find, you're supposed to learn day and night. Go find the part of the day that's not day and a night. That hour, yeah, then that's when you can go ahead and learn the Chacham Yevanis. Some people say it's when they change the clock, they need the clock back an hour. So there's an extra hour, 25th hour in the day. You know, you get an extra hour. But Vashis says, you got to learn all the time. Wait a second, so now it's the opposite. Rishmal says, you can't learn every moment of the free time. You can't learn Chacham Yevanis. And Yishun Ber Yochai is saying, yeah, just play Kriyashma. That's all you got to do. It's fine. How do you put these two sheets together? It compares to our Gemara. So there's many different approaches that are brought out in the Mefarshim. The Nefesh HaChaim says, you know, going back to also Abaye, Abaye said that, you know, a lot of people tried to do like a Rishmal and it worked out. Some people tried like a Shem Baruch HaChaim, didn't work out. And he said, you know what the difference is? The Rabbin, for the Hamonam, for the masses, for most people, the right approach in life to make sure that you're going to be able to learn Torah and maybe a Ben Torah is to also have a Parnassah. Make sure you go into a Parnassah and spend significant time, proper time, adequate time to have a mechubetik parnasa, you'll have enough time to also learn as well. It'll work out. You'll see that you'll be able to mix the two together. But for yechidei school, there are small numbers of people among Klal Yisrael, they should just be learning all day long. And for them, it would work out like them for Rishon Rechai if they would try it. But for the masses, harbei asu, if lots of people try to do like Rishon Rechai, that's not going to work out. So Rishon Rechai is speaking for for individuals. For the hamonam, lo yamish sefer Torah zeh mipicha is enough to say Krishna shachris v'arvit. Another approach, which is quoted by the Maharsha, and the Chassam Sofer says something similar in the name of his Rabbi Da'afla, they both quote that, you know what it is? The difference is a lot of people go ahead and they say, I'm going to learn all the time. You know, someone will support me, right? God will support me, good old dad, he'll support me, and I'm just going to learn Kol. I really feel like a Shronos and whatever. You know what I'm saying? He says, a lot of people think that they're on the level of Rishon Baruch Hai. He said, Rishon Baruch Hai, and the Gemara in Sukkah says, that, you know, Raisi Bnei Aliyah Umatimem. I saw that there are people of Bnei Aliyah, those who are spiritually growing on the highest levels, and there are very few of them. He says that if there's 1,000 of them out in Klal Yisrael, me and my son, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, me and my son are among them. And it goes down. There's 100, me and my son are among them. If there's 10, it's me and my son. And if there's only 2, it's me and my son. And that kind of person is Terasim Ras on the level of Rishu Ben Yochai, Shim Ben Yochai. That's the kind of person who can learn all day long and say, don't worry, Hashem will provide. He'll take care of all my needs. But a lot of people tried and thought that they are on that level. They are machzik, the way the Maharsha says it, is they think of themselves as tremendous tzaddikim, and they're not. They're not on that level. So they try to pretend they're on that level, and on the outside they put on the facade, but they're not, and it's not going to work out for them. So that's the
Gemara.
That's a very good question, and beyond the scope of this year. But a very good question, relevant to this point, 100%. It's an excellent question. It comes out of this discussion. Okay, let's continue. We do have to finish the Amud. Okay, so the Gemara says, now, Rava says, the Amrle Rava, the Rabban. Bimetusa minaychu, I beseech you, biyomi nisan biyomi tishrei. When it comes to Nisan, the month Nisan, month of Tishrei, when you should be going harvesting, when you should be planting. Lo tischazu kamai, kihichid lo tishadu mizanaychu kule shaita. I don't want you coming in those months that it's nice to learn. Those are the months I want you working, in order so that the whole year long, you're not worried about where your food's going to come from. Okay, so Bashis is meaning, you got to do some work. He simply sounds like he's saying, just like Abaye, do work also. The Erie has an additional point that he makes in what Rav is adding to what Abaye says. Because just like Abaye, it sounds like he's saying you have to learn and work. So the Erie says that, you know, there's something else that Rav is trying to point out, which is a very, very good piece of Musar. He says, you know something? A lot of people say, you know, when you go to work, but have your mind in Torah. Or, you know, when you're like the way the Kahati is a shopkeeper when you're busy, you would write the tremendous Perush HaMishnayos. So some people can do that. But for a lot of people, we have to compartmentalize our mind. So that when we're learning, we're learning. We're not like multitasking. And when we're working, we're focused on the work and doing a good job in the work. You don't want the doctor, you want the radiologist to be thinking about Torah while he's looking at the MRI. You want to be thinking about the MRI when he's looking at the MRI. Right? And you want him thinking about the Amishir when he's focusing on the Amishir. Two different things. So what he says is what Rava was adding is telling his students, take a month, take a block of time, work, earn your parnasa, and then come back to this mesh free of worries of parnasa. Granted, you're not going to make $1 million. You're only working 2 months of the year. And you know some people who like living there in Israel, they come back to America, they work for a few weeks, they go back and forth. Right? Goldberg's brother does that. He's an ER doctor here. He works for a few weeks of the year. When he's back here in Israel, he's learning full time. He's exactly this case. He goes for a few weeks to learn. I don't think he's making millions of dollars. He's not making as much as other doctors. He's making a parnasa. Baruch Hashem, he's not worried about it. And he's able to, in other parts of the year, focus. So the idea is that in our own lives, whatever to the extent we can, whether it's a part of the year or it's a part of the day, that we're not, in this part of the day, focused on what's going on in the stocks, what's going on in the trades the next day, what's going on with the plans. Again, to focus on your learning without other things interfering. That's the best way to learn Torah. That's the other point that Rav is adding to this discussion.
Significant that Rav said Nisan and Tishrei.
Yeah.
Two of the most occupying.
Oh, yes. He says it was an agricultural society. Rashi says that's the time when they were working. Yeah. It was an agricultural society. I understand. Yeah, they're busy months. Maybe he meant it because out of Nisan and Tishrei, half the temple. So how many days do you work anyway? That's busy not working that many days. Maybe like 10 days the whole month you go to work. All right, let's continue. Let's try to get to the bottom here. Okay, so the Gemara says two dots. Amar Rabbi Rechana Rabbi Yochum, Yishim Rabbi Yehuda Barbi Lai. Bo Rei Shalok Doros Rabbi Shonim Doros Hashron. You know, the early, like you would say, you know, the old, good old days. Well, in the good old days, Doros Rabbi Shonim, Asu Tarasun Kavim Lach Narai. They knew how to make sure that their Torah was the primary thing they were doing. Their work was secondary. And guess what? Zovazun, it's Kaim of Yadin. They were able to accomplish both by having that proper priority perspective. But the later generations, they focused much more of their time on the work. They forgot, you know, like they did like Rabbi Yishmael. They worked it out, but you know, they forgot which was supposed to be the Iker, which is the Tafel. The Taras Narayan, they made their Torah just the more temporary, transient thing. So Bezol is kind of the other. They did not accomplish enough in their Panos, they did not accomplish enough in their learning either. The Amr of Rechana, Amr of Yochan, Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, also another statement. Again, the generations of earlier years, our forefathers were greater than us. How so? Doros Harishonim, how you machnisim perusam derech traksimon kadesh lechayvon b'meiser. So they, you know what they would do? They would bring their grain into the house through the regular doorway. That's how they brought it in. In order to that, it should be chayev in master. We'll see how in a second that's the way it's required. Doros ha'achronim, but the later generations, machnisim perosem derech gagos, derech chazeret, derech hafifos. They used to bring the grain into the house in a way that would not obligate it in maaser, through the roof, through the sides, through the chazer, through the place where it's not the people don't live in the carpet. again, it's kedei l'tzipach min ha'maaser. They were in order that they should not have to give maaser. Now, we'll see. What's the source? We'll get the source. I'll explain what this means. The Amr of Yanai. Yanai says, "Ein hatevel mischayev de maaser ad shir pnei abayis." You know, saying when something is tevel, tevel means the untied produce. It's the produce you haven't given trumas and maasers from that yet. When does that become obligated? I mean, you pull something out of the ground in the field. It's not immediately obligated in Truma Maaser. Only once you go ahead and you thread, you put it into a pile, you smooth it out, and then you bring it into the house. It has to year Panea Bais, it has to go through the normal way into the house based on the Pasuk. It's Xer Sakasiv. Okay? The Pasuk says, you know, in the third and the sixth years of the Shemitah cycle, the farmer comes to the Beis Mikdash and he has to do what's called Vidu Maaser. He has to say that I gave all, you know, the pasuk here, Biarti Hakodesh Mevayis, kind of starts with the Levi, the Ger, the Yosef. I gave all the things I'm supposed to give. Asisi Koshko Asher Sivisani. I've done everything he told me to do. So one of the things he says is Biarti Hakodesh Mevayis. I've taken all the Kodesh, all the things which are not mine, the Heg, the Truma I've given to the Kohen, and the Maaser I've given to the Levi. I've given everything I was supposed to give. So it says Min Habayis. So therefore it has to be when it came into the house. If it didn't come to the house, that wasn't something I had to give. Now, midrabanan, you do have to give it. Even if you didn't bring your grain to the house through the doorway, you do have to give it. We had learned at the end, remember at the end of the last parak, it was from the last parak, people will learn that, we said you have to go into davening mishum halacha psuka. You can't just go into davening learning a complex sugi. Your mind's going to be on the sugi, it's not going to be on learning, on davening. So instead, you should go into davening from having just learned a simple straightforward halacha. What was the simple straightforward halacha that the Gemara said? So Lamed Aleph, we had said, what's the straightforward halacha like that? It is, if a person goes ahead, it says, Ma'ayim Adam, as to also, Machnes is Elbayis Motshalach, and here I have the exact phrase. You bring the food into your house. Let's see where it says it. Yeah, marim adam al tzvah. So a person can make a trick. You're allowed to halachically make a certain trick with your grain. Bring it into the house while it's still in the husk. We haven't separated it out into nice grain, into the individual seeds, and bring it to the house that way. So it's in order so that your animal can eat from it, and it's positive from mitzvah. Before you get true mitzvah, you can have your animal eat from it, because you can eat an achilas arai, a temporary type of non-substantial eating from the grain, before you give it to my master. That's the animal eating. For your eating, that's significant eating, we can't eat from an eating of Rabban Meir's way. So when our Gemara says that the earlier generations, they were so careful, they even before giving their animal or eating a little taste of the food, would make sure they gave Trumas to Maestros, and that was chayav to do so. It's almost like, you know, we have a mitzvah to wear a dal kampos, to wear a beged. When you have a four-cornered beged, put tzitzit on it. You don't have to wear a four-cornered beged. What we do is we force ourselves to wear tzitzit by wearing a four-cornered beged. Once we're wearing a four-cornered beged, we have to sit this on. But if you walked around all day long without wearing a four-cornered beged, so then you don't have to wear this. So we obligate ourselves. Similarly, the previous generations were more scrupulous in their mitzvahs. Even when they could have gotten out of doing a mitzvah, they made sure to do so. Okay. So the Rav Yochan says, "Afilu b'chatzar kovas," even bringing the grain into the chatzar also establishes it as obligated in Truma HaMaser. "Shenemar v'achlu b'sharecha," the person says that I ate it in my sha'ar, in my gate. So that includes the chazer. Okay. So the Gemara says, chutz min hayayin. So we had said that you make a bari pri ha'et on all foods that grow from the tree, with the exception of wine, which we say bari pri ha'gefen. So the Gemara wants to know, maishna yayin, what is it about wine that we give it significance so that it gets its own bracha? The first suggestion is the following. When you take the grapes and turn them into wine, so they've undergone a transformation to a very higher positive level. So therefore, ishtani lebracha, they also get a new bracha. So you've taken fruit, you take it to a new level, so therefore it gets a new bracha level. Then we're asked, wait a second, how can that be? Bahare shemen, you have oil. Ishtani liluye, you take the olives, you crush them, you produce oil, also it's a higher level. So therefore, but lo ishei lebracha, we don't make a different bracha on oil than we do on the olives. The Amar of Yud, Amar Shmuel, the Chem of Yitzchak, Amar of Yochanan, Shemin Zayis and Bracha Lo, Brei Preis. You make a Brei Preis on the Shemin Zayis, yeah, on the oil. So wait a second. So how come? It's also changed to a higher form. Why don't we make a different form of a bracha like we do by wine? So the Gemara says, Amri Hasam Mishum Dulo Efshar. There's not another possible bracha to make. Why? Hechi nevarech, what would you suggest that we make on this oil? So it says nevarech, we should say bari pri hazayis, right? Bari pri hagefen, bari pri hazayis. The problem is, Hera gufe zayis ikre. What is the zayis? That is the fruit. So if you say bore pri hazayis, you're saying blessed is the fruit of the fruit. Bore pri, the fruit of the zayis, which is the fruit. You can't make a bracha of the fruit of the fruit. That makes no sense. Noras is fine. We won't make that bracha. Nevarchaleh bore pri eight zayis. Let's make a bracha of bore pri, the fruit of the olive tree. That makes sense. That would be appropriate bracha. So the Gemara has no answer to that question. It has to seek a new distinction why wine is different. So Ella Amar Marzutra Chamra Zayin. You know what it is about wine? Wine, it nourishes a person. And Mishcha, the oil, does not. Lo Zayin. That doesn't nourish a person. Gemara says, wait a second. Mishcha Lo Zayin, does the oil not nourish? A person doesn't provide any nourishment? That has not. We say in the Mishnah, Hanoder Min HaMazon. The person goes ahead and he takes a neder Min HaMazon, from that which is Mazon. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Mutar B'mayim B'melach. He's allowed to drink water and salt. The Gemara says, "Bahavina ba." We ask on this Mishnah, "Ma'im melach hu deloy ikre mazon." Is it only water and salt that is not called mazon? Hakol mili ikre mazon. That implies that all other things are called mazon, like just only water and salt, not mazon. That would be if we said that. That would be against Rav Shmuel. The Amri, because they said, "Ein mevarchim borei me mizonos." When we say that which is mazon, when we make borei mine mizonos, ela behe chamisha minim, the five types of grain. Bilvad, only those five types, not all the other things in the world. So instead, the Mishnah has to be interpreted in a different way, because the Mishnah had said, Hanodar min ha-mazon, that which the person is saying, I'm not going to eat mazon. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna explains what the Mishnah had meant is, Be'omer kol hazan alai, I will not eat anything which provides any kind of nourishment. He didn't mean that which is called mazon, because that which is called mazon are only the five types of grain. Okay, that's it. But when it comes to that anything which nourishes, well, that's anything except for water and salt. Because water and salt do not provide any nourishment. So Alma Mishcha Zayin, so, well, oil, then according to that, would provide nourishment. The Gemara, again, Duck is going to come up with a new distinction. What it means is that wine, it satiates a person. Whereas oil, it might provide nourishment, provide calories, but it doesn't satiate a person. The chamra misayid, is it true that wine really does satiate? Rava would drink wine all Erev Pesach. There's like nothing to eat Erev Pesach. Well, he drank wine all Erev Pesach. That's what he would do all day. Why? In order to say he should be very, very hungry, so he have like a really good appetite, and he'll eat more matzah, even more matzah. So, by the way, they point out from here, that there is a mitzvah not just to have your kezayis the matzah at the seder, but that you should dafka do things to increase your appetite to eat lots of matzah at the seder. Eat extra kezayis, eat more than you are strictly obligated to do at the seder. And we see how what's the source. We see from here, Rava would drink wine all day to try and eat more matzah. Like, not enough, you're drinking more. Okay, so the Gemara answers, no, you know what it is? Tuva garer. If you drink a ton of wine, well, that's going to open up your appetite. But purta, you have just moderation, so one glass. I'm not sure, one glass, but two glasses. What's considered moderation by wine? A little bit. So you have a little bit, then it's solid. That satiates you. It's like anything else in life. You have, it's like love. Not just diminishing your returns. If you have a lot of it, it doesn't do anything for you. It makes you more hungry. You have just a little bit, you're going to be fine. You're going to be satiated. So misai cloud. Wait a second. Does wine at all provide satiation? The Aktiv, he says in the pasuk, yain yismach levav inosh. Wine gives you happiness. So lechem levav enosh yisad. But it's bread that gives you satiation. So there's a distinction. Wine just makes you happy. I mean, that we know, right? Wine, person makes them happy. The bread, that's what satiates you. Gemara says, no. You know what it is? Namahu desaid, chamer. Oh, sorry. From here we see namahu desaid. Bread is what gives you satiation. Chamer lo tsaid. So we had just said a moment ago that wine does provide satiation. So Gemara explains, ella chamer is beitart. You know what it is? Wine has multiple good things about it. It has two positive attributes. One, makes you happy. Two, it also goes ahead and provides satiation. So El Chamr is Beitarti Sa'id Sameach. Naham Abu, when it comes to bread, that's just Masid. That just goes ahead and gives you satiation. So Masid Sa'id, it gives you satiation, but Smuchi Loi Mismach, it doesn't make you happy. You know, if you're just eating just bread, you're not getting in a happy mood. So what the Pasuk had distinguished between what was the extra quality, what was the unique quality of wine, separate from bread, and that's the Sameach. But truthfully, if you have a little bit of wine, it will also provide you satiation. Gemara says, Yahi, so if what we're saying is that it's based on satiation, and that in fact the satiation quality of wine is shared with bread. And bread, what's the proper bracha chron on bread? Well, when you're eating bread, it's going to be bircha samazon. Okay, bircha samazon is when it's, that we know that's just pasta. But when you're eating me'ein, right, pasta babakistan, you're eating something that's a form of the dough that's similar to bread, you're going to make a me'ein, you're going to say me'ein shalosh. You're going to say the michya, which is me'ein shalosh. Shalosh is the three brachas. So, shalosh brachas. You say a benching on the wine. What's shalosh brachas? Shalosh brachas is that midaraisa, there are three brachas in the benching, which are midaraisa, right? So that's azas akol, ala aret, and boni yishalayim. Those are the midaraisa. So the fourth bracha, so if I made it, that's midaravana. So it's the three brachas are midaraisa, so you should have to say them on wine. Gemara says, the answer is, look, in shisu, that's ilayu. You do not establish your meal on wine. So that's why you don't make a benching on it. You're going to drink some, but you're not making a meal on it. You're not really kovea your sustenance on it. So amrelei Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rabba, I kava liye, what if your person did? You know, sometimes you have a, what's the word for this? Like you have a wine, not a tasting, but you have like a wine meal. You have a real place that people are getting, they're just drinking wine. And they're going to establish their main thing. You have wine, and it's like the wine pairing. The main thing is the different wines you're drinking, and you have something that pairs with it. It brings out the flavor of the wine. So then, what about that kind of guy? He says, would that person bench on the wine? Perhaps he should. It's satiating him, and he's kovei sudale. My, what's the halacha? The only answer him, as the only time I've seen is I remember some shots. Amalei lechishiyavo Eliyahu vayomer ihavi kivyusa. You know, when Eliyahu, it's not like Tishbi. You know, like when we say Teku, it's like Tishbi. He'll come and he'll tell us the answer. This is different. It's not Teku. It's like it's unresolved. It's like he's like saying, you know, Eliyahu will come and he'll tell us. When he comes and tells us whether or not that's really considered to be a serious establishing of drinking, then we'll listen to your question. The hashtamia, but in the meantime, butla daisos kaladam. You know, your wine tasting meals. Do me a favor. The main thing you're doing is the food, not the wine. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll do the Amish, the in Chabur in a minute.